from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Globe Life Field in Arlington, getting ready for the Rangers today. Pre-game will start at 1, first pitch at 1:35. I think we're going to have Bruce Bochy in about 20 minutes or so, but I want to start things off. Me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, the famous Mike Bassick. Back in the studio, it's Alec Medford. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
What's going on, man? Hello. Oh, no, oh, Mike. No. We don't have mic up right now.
Ruben. Oh dear.
Okay, we'll have to take care of that.
We might have to get back. Try it again.
Hello.
Oh, there he is. He's back in the game.
Let's go.
I like it. Good to have you here, Mike.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. I see you wearing your Rangers polo.
Yeah.
Surely we'll get more hits today than yesterday, right?
Yeah. I don't know. Honestly, maybe a perfect game's going to be thrown today.
Hey, how did y'all feel yesterday when Reggie started texting about all the runs that the Astros were scoring? Yeah. And he's like, this is kind of cool and everything. Like,
he's a jerk.
Yeah, that was rude of him to start bragging about the team he's covering.
Yeah.
We won the World Series last year, though.
Yeah,
so I'm going to rest
never have.
Yeah, I'm going to, not legitimately at least, that I know.
Oh, we don't count the second one as legitimate?
After the first one was not illegitimate, how can you count the second one? You know?
Man, sounds like you do great in politics. All right, 877-881-1053. Frankel, stop it. Frankel, I meant to you, not the count.
I meant to you,
stop it. If you want to text in, also hit us up on the Twitch, on the YouTube. But we're going to start with Cowboys. We'll probably talk with Boach in about 20 minutes, but let's start with Cowboys here. Who is the biggest X factor for the Cowboys this season? So I'm particularly looking for a player. I know there are lots of different things that could pivot this Cowboys season, but I was curious if there is one particular player that you look at and you're like, this one, this person could kind of change the trajectory of this season.
Well, I'll go without saying a player because right now the starting running back is Zeke. If somebody actually is an NFL running back on this team, like that would be an X factor. Right now, I'm assuming they're going to be one of the worst run offenses in the NFL. And they're going to have to do everything based off of passing to score points. So X factor for me would be, oh my gosh, if the Cowboys actually have like an average or above average run attack, and I don't think it's going to be Zeke. I think it will be Rico or Malik Davis.
I don't even know if one of those is going to make the team.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on this. I really did.
Okay.
And it was a Mike Fisher article. Suggesting, should the Cowboys trade for Miles Sanders, and would that be the missing link?
Mama's boy.
That was my first thought, was that we would have a field day with that. But, I mean, it seems like it would be an upgrade over the rest of the group right now.
Yeah, a lot of people do think that the Cowboys are going to have to do the Amari Cooper trade again.
Yeah.
Now, I hope the Cowboys' record isn't that bad, when they did that, they were like 2-4 something.
It was a rough start.
They were in a bad spot.
And but I think that they might get to the point in week 4 or week 5. I think they're going to run with their guys right now and then hope and pray, and then possibly 5 games or 4 games into the season go, can we pick up a Miles Sanders or can we pick up somebody? Because we have now established that this isn't going to work.
That's one of the reasons, Kevin, I think that spot, that position might go a little long. Because okay. I think I think Deuce can help you on special teams for one, but I also think they have 3 guys that all kind of do the same thing and are all kind of the same guy.
So maybe,
and they're not good enough.
Maybe my roster building thought is off base in terms of, like, let's just say I think the 4th tight end is better than the 6th wide receiver, and I'm like, that's why you go with the 4th tight end. Where, correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm getting this right, you're saying they might go heavier running back because they're like, yeah, we're trying to figure it out, kind of.
Yeah,
still.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Thinking,
actually.
Then, hey, we can use one of these guys on special teams, but also we're not sure which one of these guys is good enough. Like, I think Royce Freeman might make it because of that.
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, him, Zeke, and Dowdle are all kind of the same guy. We'll hold on to these, and we'll also hold on to Deuce just in case. So that's
and
where.
And then Lipke too.
Oh, and Lipke. So yeah, 5 there. Well, and I guess I just don't consider him running back in that.
Okay,
I do consider him fullback. But yeah, the opportunities. Maybe that is the ability to move on from Freeman, because, or maybe even somebody else because of that.
I wanted to throw this out as my player. If we can go to cut number 4, I think this is the person I'm focusing in on, the X factor for the Cowboys this season.
Looking to tie the game. Oh, they get him! DeMarvian Overshown comes in like a missile.
I think about the hype level that was on him last year, and then I think about what he can add to a defensive group that you're like cautiously optimistic about, I suppose. And I really think he could be the dude that could help us change some stuff, whether it's just fundamentally doing better at run defense or, I mean, you just heard getting pressure on the quarterback.
I love that person. I love the idea because of the dynamic ability to make plays, his speed, his ability to cover sideline to sideline. I just concern myself with his health.
Sure.
You know, he had the injury.
That's fair.
He had the injury last year, and now
fair.
He's got a little knee
yep.
tenderness right now. Yep. So that's the only thing, and I need to see a little more of him. Is he going to play in this upcoming preseason game?
My guess would be no.
Yeah, you probably want to keep him as, you know, fresh as you possibly can, but dude, he's got it. He's got the ability to flash on your screen and make big-time plays from all over the field. And that's one of the – I mean, then having Micah running around at linebacker too, you know, that's 2 really good playmakers. And you hear Broadus talk about Micah this season, this offseason here. He's saying, I'm watching a guy that's not letting offensive linemen get their hands on him. He's making moves to keep their hands off of him so he can get in position. All the great pass rushers, that's what they do. They don't get caught up by offensive linemen. You saw it too many times last year where they just get pushed around. And so if you got 2 guys like that and Damon Clark and Eric Kendricks, I think that's a nice bunch that you got there. I was going to go with Kendricks as my guy because I think he's an intelligent player that understands what the scheme is supposed to do. I really think that, and I know the personality, I think he understands as a veteran, Mike, what it takes to kind of grow throughout a season. You don't have to hit everything running immediately, and you can add some things to it, gaining the trust of other players and getting them into the fold too. One other person I could throw on this list, I'm probably the only one that has this person on their list, is Jalen Tolbert. I think.
Ooh, I actually picked a different receiver, so that's interesting.
I think he's going to be your 3rd receiver on this team. He's been making some really good plays. If you're watching some of the stuff that's coming out of camp, he's making good plays in the absence of CeeDee Lamb. And as I was listening to Broadus talking about Brooks and Tolbert this morning, and he said it was looking like it was going to be a competition between those two and that Tolbert would probably lose it, right?
Yeah.
Because Tolbert just hasn't done anything else. But he said he's completely separated himself from Jalen Brooks, even though Jalen Brooks has had some really big plays in the preseason game so far. But I think he can be a big factor for this team.
All right. I was actually going to go with cut number 3 if we can.
Snap is back, 3rd down. Throw on the left side of the end zone for Cooks. Leaping up, Cooks. Did he catch it? Yes! Touchdown, Cowboys!
So specifically, I was thinking, if you can make the same impact touchdown-wise, but maybe give the Cowboys 200 to 300 yards more. Now, I know if you get about 300 yards more, you're going to be like on the cusp of hitting 1,000, which he did for several seasons. I think he's a quality player, and you see the connection last year at training camp. You've seen it again this year, and you're like, man, if you could translate that more to the games, I really feel like he could make people feel better about the receiving core, because it feels like people are kind of iffy on the receiving core in general.
One of the things I believe we were hearing late in the season about Dak was, look, yeah, his pre-snap reads are really good. He lines things up. He gets the offensive line in place. He does a really good job with his pre-snap stuff. But once the ball's in his hands, his first read, if it's not open, he panics.
Yeah.
Do you guys agree that we heard that a little bit last year?
I've heard that, yeah.
Okay. I feel like if you can say, okay, you know what, both of these receivers I trust on either side of me, and so I can make them read one, and it's not just always CeeDee Lamb. Look, I want to feed CeeDee Lamb the ball as much as you can. Well, you know, you feel very confident in his ability to catch and then his ability to make plays downfield while he's doing it. But if you have both sides of the field and the defense is kind of caught off balance by what you're doing because they can't just hone in on a CeeDee Lamb and they're like, okay, we stop him, we stop the offense, then I think you have a better opportunity. We saw plenty of it last year. I think that's a great option there.
Now, there's one person who hasn't come up yet. By the way, let me ask you, this is a serious question, because I just saw somebody text this in, and I kind of think it might be worth a long-form discussion. They said, what is it going to take for y'all to eat? You know, what kind of receipts are you going to keep to make you eat it over Zeke? And then they said why you shouldn't compare it to last year in New England and this and that. I kind of want to do a long-form segment, maybe tomorrow, maybe another day, about Zeke and just get more info about why so many people seem to have such high expectations for Zeke. And maybe we'll find out, like, it is just a fringe part of the fandom. But it feels like we see that pop up a lot. So maybe that's a discussion for another day.
I, real quick, would tell those people this. Maybe we will be wrong.
That'd be great.
But we keep seeing nationally the Cowboys ranked near the bottom, yep. If not the very bottom, 32nd. Like, nobody nationally thinks Zeke can play in this league anymore. I hope they're wrong. I hope my feelings are wrong on Zeke, and that he's way better than I could have ever imagined at this point in his career. But we're not making it up.
No.
We're not going against what the scouts are saying, the national people
are
saying.
Pro Football Focus, ESPN, both had them dead last in running back.
So I understand where people are like, I love Zeke. I think he's going to be great, and he's going to have new life here, and I hope you are right. But literally nobody believes that outside of the Cowboys organization.
Here's something that'll change my mind a little bit. He's had over 100 rushing yards zero times in the last 2 years. He's had up to 100 rushing yards zero times in the last 2 years. Game 5 3 years ago was the last time he had 110 rushing yards. Before that, 143. And since then, he has not had 100 rushing yards.
Now, there are a ton under 50 in that span, too.
Now, again, I always want to add up yards at the end in points.
Sure.
You know, I'll take all those things. But he hasn't been that type of a playmaker. And honestly, if you look at that going back, Kevin, in that three-year span, he's only had over 80 rushing yards twice. Three times. So, like, it's not promising that you're getting an average of 2-3 yards per carry. And I need to see more than that from him. Now, if this offensive line can block it for him, Tyler Smith's had a great camp. Tyler Smith's going to be really, really good. Zach Martin's a little different than he always has been, but he's still damn Zach Martin. And Guyton's looking good in pass pro. How can he be in the run protection as well? And what are you getting from Terrence Steele and your center? If your center can get to second level, whoever it is, Hoffman or Cooper Beebe, it's going to give whoever the running back is more opportunities in between the tackles to get upfield and get bigger yards. But Zeke has to show that explosiveness and that step once he has the opportunity for me to go, all right, that's the Zeke I remember. Right now, it doesn't look like it. And even Mike McCarthy said, look, the guy had the most more carries than anybody a long time ago, and we're not going to wear his body down that same way.
So I want people to help out on the fan text, on the Twitch, on the YouTube, because it might just be a tiny minority. But if you do really expect something big from Zeke this year, I just want to know a little bit more about it, because I'd be fascinated to dive into that another day.
I'll add one other name to this conversation, Kevin, before we get over to Boach. Jordan Phillips. That addition right there, just seeing how he came out ready in that first preseason game. He already understands this defense. He knows what his role is supposed to be. He wants to go get the quarterback at the three, but also he can fill in other roles at the defensive tackle position. I think that that's going to be something that Hankins was missing. It felt like he was missing, and we didn't have that because we just had Mozzie. If Mozzie can learn anything and grow into it, that'd be great, but Phillips is going to fill that role right now.
What if I teased for tomorrow, not me, not you, not Mike, none of us listed the real X factor for this Cowboys team?
Jerry Jones and his
ability to sign. No, it's not Jerry Jones. It's not
throwing up the X.
It's not.
Bring him back, man.
I mean, at this point,
if we just had Dez, everything would be fine.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Globe Life Field, getting you ready for Rangers Pirates. Coming up next, though, we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on 105 Through the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, the Rangers know that big wins come from bold plays. That's why the original Louisiana brand hot sauce is the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold. It also brings to you our interview with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. How's it going?
We're doing okay. Now, I've always been curious about this. I don't know if I've asked you this before, but we've got a day game today. I'm sure it could be a little different if the roof's open or if you're playing outdoors. Do you like the day game as opposed to the night game, or do you prefer the night game because you just get into that routine and that's a lot of times when you'll play?
You know, I've always liked day games. I don't know. I guess probably because that's when I played a lot, those Sunday day games. But, no, I'm good with day games. I mean, we're flying out after the game. We are off tomorrow, so we could have had a night game. I'm guessing the player's preference probably would have been have a day game today. It just breaks it up a little bit, gives you a chance to, you know, relax in the evening, have a nice dinner, whatever. You know, there will be some families, I'm sure, going to Cleveland since we have a day off there.
Now, Chris Young was on our station on Monday, and he was just talking about the season in general, and he said, this is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be as equally embarrassed as I am about how we've played. Do you think that's a fair way to put the season, and do you get that sense in the clubhouse?
I missed the first part of that. You broke up on me. What?
Okay. Yeah, Chris Young was with us on Monday, and he said, just talking about the season in general, this is not what we expected, and I expect our players to be as equally embarrassed as I am about how we've played. Is that a fair way to put the season, and do you get that sense from any of the players?
Oh, I think so, yeah. I think they're all disappointed at how it's gone this year, with the offense. Now, I'm sure as a group, yeah, it is embarrassing for us to play the way we did last year and to end up having the season go like this, and it's not over. But I'll say this, I check with guys, if they need a day, whatever, they all want to play. They all want to try to finish strong, and I think that's important for the club, for the fans, for all of us, and. You never know. You still could get on a crazy streak. We've been seeing that for a while, but ran into a buzzsaw last night, obviously. But, I think we got to look at, each of us got to, look at each other and, ourselves and us as a group collectively and just say, hey, we got work to do. And I've said, this game is for the humble or the guys who are about to be humbled, and it's a humbling season for us.
Boach, as a lifelong Rangers fan, we never experienced what we experienced last year. All three of us been, since we were a kid, it was the pinnacle of our Rangers fandom. And the other thing is, we've never experienced defending a title either. And, you've gone through that a few times. How trying is a season after defending a title? It's got to be a long off season. I've just always been curious of, is it kind of this like a little bit of a lull after that? Or how do you get the guys to rally back after winning the big one?
That's obvious. I haven't had a lot of luck because I've never repeated. I look at every championship, and next year they've all been a little bit different. The first one, I go back to San Francisco when Posey got involved in that home plate collision. We lost him, but we hung in there. We played pretty good. 1 year it was the pitching that we lost two or three starters that year that made it tough. But still, and we all have injuries, the teams, and you got to find a way to overcome them. And we've had a tough time doing that. And I'll keep repeating myself on this. You need your guys to have their normal years, and that has not happened. It's hard to put a finger on why. Already tired. I don't think it's complacency. They adjusted to us, but this is why we got to look at ourselves and figure a way that we can come back and be the team that we were last year, and that's what we're hoping to do here the next 6 weeks is figure that out now, so we go to off season and have a lot of confidence about where we're at and the guys that we have, because you look at this core group, it's there's not a better core group I think in baseball. But, we're playing up to our standard, and it's important again that we realize how important these games are, and for us to finish strong.
Boach, you talked about having kind of the normal season or ordinary numbers, the numbers that at the end of the year are usually consistent for your players. What's interesting, and I was looking at this last night, didn't know you were going to say what you just said, is I was looking at certain players on your team, and last year they never had a better year offensively in their life, especially if you look at the last 4 years of their career. And this year they've never had a worse year in their career. And so I was wondering, I know you're not the general manager, you're the manager, but when you're evaluating your players and you've been with these guys for almost 2 years, is it tough for you to evaluate when you look at certain guys and go, well, they've never been better in their life for me last year, and they've never been worse in their career than they are this year.
Yeah, these are things that CY and I are talking about, and I know he's talking about with his group. You know, where we're at with these players. You know, who are they? You know, what's our our identity? You know, both as we look at the individual players and us as a group collectively, and what we want to be, and that can cover everything, not just hitting. It can cover defense, base running, athleticism, of course, pitching, number one thing. And but it's pretty obvious this year. I think you can look at the offense. It's just the numbers are way down, and that's been our big issue. And as you saw last night, we didn't see many games like that. So But to your point, yeah, now you have to evaluate, okay, are we the team that we were last year, or are we closer to being in the middle between this year and last year? And so, these are decisions that we have to make, and on areas that we need to get better at, where we can get better. And again, you look at the position players on the field. I mean, these are our guys. And this is, what we got to address and find a way to get back to where we were last year. And trust me, the hitting guys are working every day, man. They're trying to, find a way to come out of this thing. And but I will say right now, as a group, they've been beat up, and, they're fighting hard to come out of it, I think, but it's just been going going on really for the most part this season, and so I think at the end of the season, these are going to be some tough discussions and decisions on what we end up doing.
Okay, so this is something I was also wondering, Boach. I don't think I've ever seen you like write into a little notebook. I've watched as much as I can. I don't think I've ever seen that. How do you keep notes on players whenever you're trying to evaluate them? Do you just say I'm saving paper and I'm keeping it locked up in the ironclad box in the brain here, or how's that go?
Well, mostly, you're just keeping it in your brain. I mean, you're not writing down notes on your players. You know them. There's times when, during the season, this things happen that, we need to fix. I write down on things we want to work on.
Okay.
It can be anything. For example, that bunt defense three days ago, and Josh knows he's got to come get that ball. We didn't. Just little things that I like to jot down. So now during the winter, I have them down as we go in spring training. Hey guys, this is what as I talk to the staff, these are things that we got to get better at. But for the most part, you won't see me write down notes during the game. I like to get locked into the game and watch it, and if I'm looking down, write notes, I feel like I'm missing something going on. So I just focus on the game, and that's why you have the prep before the game and all your meetings to get ready for the game. So to me, if you're having to write down stuff on what you want to do during the game, you really haven't spent time before the game to prepare for it.
So, Boach, when I played, obviously there were no iPads in the dugout, so that makes me really old. What what would happen if you played one game where you said, no iPads in the dugout, we're all going to watch the game, and we're all going to kind of, I guess, call it, do it old school, where everybody's really engaged in the game and not maybe looking at their previous at-bats, or I don't know exactly everything they're looking at on the iPad, but they were just kind of sitting down or kind of standing on the top step and just kind of watching the game and being, like you're saying, totally engaged in the moment of the game.
Yeah, you sound like me during the game. let's throw those iPads away. Yesterday, they were down for the first three innings, so that wasn't working either. And then they came back on. But, no, there are teams that have, taken them out. We've talked about that, cutting it down, trying to keep things simple. As you said, get involved in the game, watch the game, and I'll be honest, I would be fine baseball said no iPads in the dugout. I would be good with that. There's times when I took the video out in the past because guys were running up, look at the video. This is before the iPads, but you had the video. They'd run up there and look at it, and then they had to hustle out on defense, or they'd be looking at the wrong thing. They'd be not looking at what they're doing, you know, with their swing or whatever. They'd be looking at the call. So now they're coming out ticked off at the umpire, so they've lost focus on what we're trying to do, and that's win a ball game. I think, that's a legit point there. Yeah, sometimes I think it would be good, you know, just put the iPads down. Let's play like college girls softball game. You see how they're all in a row yelling, screaming.
They got chance.
It's fun to watch that.
Now, I know the other night Dane Dunning got removed from his start and there was concern about a dip in velocity. Any updates on how he's feeling or what he's told you about how he's feeling?
He's feeling well. There's no pain or anything. He just says, I know it's not coming out right. And so we had him looked at. He passed all the tests. He's fine there. He thinks it's mechanical. He and my medics are working on some things now to get back where he needs to be with the stuff and the location. But, you know, when he's throwing well, he's 90, 91 with that sink. But, you know, it was coming out of 87, 88 in that area. And, you know, that's – and the amazing thing, going back to that game, is the – How well he was staying off the barrel, even getting strikeouts until the three-run homer when he hung that slider.
Now, to stick with pitching, Tyler Malley went on the injured list, and y'all activated John Gray. I'm curious for both of them. Are you more cautious with Tyler Malley just because of the lack of pitching and what he's come back from? And then John Gray pitched in relief last night. Do you see him as being, you know, maybe both a starter and a reliever to finish out the season?
Oh, he'll start coming up here. I think we got him opening up here in Chicago, I think the second day. So anyway, we want to give him some work before he started. So actually the game, you know, you hate for it to go like that, but it worked out well for John because he could go out there and get a couple innings, get his feet wet again, and kind of prep him for his start coming up. When it'll be kind of sort of an opening where he'll go maybe four innings in that area.
And then in terms of Malley, do you have to be more cautious with him just because of what he's been through, or are you like, no, he's good to go, it's just now he's had a different setback?
I think you have to be more cautious. He's he's come up long rehab. We want to find out exactly if there's anything going on, and so that's why he's getting this 15 days. It could be longer. We find out all is well with him. I talked to him yesterday. He feels nothing in there. He says, in fact, it feels great today. But anytime you have a guy that's coming off a major surgery like that on a Tommy John, you got to be careful. They're going to have their ups and downs, and they may need a break, and we think that's the case with him.
Well, we appreciate the time as always. Obviously, y'all got a game coming up in about 3 hours, so good luck, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, guys. Good talking with you. Thanks.
Thanks, Boach.
There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. You know, if you're looking to spice up your game day grub, reach for the original Louisiana brand hot sauce, the official hot sauce of the Texas Rangers. The original Louisiana brand hot sauce flavor favors the bold and brings you that weekly interview with Boach.
Yeah, go get Rangers, you know.
I'm not going to live that down anytime soon, am I?
I think after this season, we got to let that one go, though.
Okay.
Right? Is that you think
so,
Mike?
Yeah, this is a big game today. This could be a series win if they win today.
I'd love to have something
Let's
like that.
Let's do it.
All right.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
Hey, Barry Fish says enough of this baseball talk. It's football nuggets coming up based off of these Texas Rangers. Nobody thought that this would be a bad offense this year. What would you say that you do not expect? I cannot expect this from the Cowboys this upcoming season. Next.
Runner goes. Here's the pitch. That's lifted high into the air, deep right field. Going back is Adolis Garcia. He leaps at the wall but can't make the catch. It kicks off the wall, far away from the wall. Headed to third is Cruz. Here's the throw. It's late. O'Neill Cruz triples off the right field wall. Brian De La Cruz scores, and the Pirates lead it 3-0.
KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. That's pretty much more exciting than any Rangers highlight I could have played you.
Thanks a lot, Kevin.
We're live at Globe Life Field, and it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, so instead of Baseball Nuggets, and Barry Fish is on right now. Now, a lot of people are getting jealous of Barry Fish.
Like, yeah.
You know, Kid Cowboy, number 66, Tejano Boy. I'm just throwing out names.
Oh, I've seen him. I've seen Tejano Boy.
Larry Reed
said he was at Fan Bowl.
Larry Reed said Barry Fish left again, Mike. But he's on. He's watching. And Barry Fish, hey, we just talked 20 minutes of baseball. But I am going to use the Texas Rangers season as an example. Nobody, when everybody was picking the top 10 offenses in baseball going into the 2024 season, the Rangers were anywhere from, let's say, 1 to 7. They weren't going to be ranked like outside of the top 7 of offenses in Major League
Baseball.
And
if you would have put them at 7, I think I would have been offended.
Yeah,
I was like, how are they not 1, 2, or 3?
How are they not top 5? Look at every category says they're a top 5 offense. But I'm just throwing this out. So nobody expected the Rangers to be a below average to bad offense this year. So now I pose this as a football question.
Oh.
As we get prepared for the Cowboys season, what is something that would shock you? And I am going to say right now in a negative way. We can turn it to positive, right, possibly if we have enough time. But it's been totally negative for the Rangers offense. So it wasn't expected. They were supposed to carry this team. So what would you go, I cannot believe this will go bad for the Cowboys this year?
Sorry, Corey, if I may.
Go ahead.
If they get the deal done, and for whatever reason, it's because it takes time to get into football shape, or he just regresses because he got paid, if CeeDee Lamb doesn't have another monster year, I feel like that will be a pretty shocking regression and very problematic.
Oh, man. Yeah, absolutely. Unless it is that Brandon Cooks is equal to him.
Sure.
Because of,
then we have a whole different slew of discussions.
Which, man, was it? I can't remember the last time the team had 3 1,000-yard receivers. I believe was it T.O. and Terry Glenn?
I'm not going
to somewhere in
that
room. I'll have to go back and look at that to be sure. But, yeah, man, like, if you could have that kind of balance again across your team, that'd be awesome. Maybe I'm missing something with Dak here. So I'm sure there's a fan out there that's like, hey, idiot. And that's fine. I appreciate you. For me, it would be if they were last in the league in interceptions. Because you have two of the in the last 2 years, the best cornerbacks when it comes to getting interceptions.
Yes.
It's in their nature. That's just, and I don't know if it's something that Al Harris taught or if it's something that Dan Quinn's scheme created, but those two guys, they look for the football, and I don't think it didn't sound like when we were out in Oxnard that they were changing anything about their instincts. Maybe the scheme changes a little bit, but the instincts are still going to be there. So if they're last in interceptions, then that'll be something that I'm like, man, I just didn't see that coming. And that's where you can give the ball back to your offense and give them more opportunities to put points on the board.
I like y'all's answers. Here's mine. I'm going to be shocked if – I think Dak Prescott will finish top 5 in yards this year, passing yards. He's a guy who does put up a lot of passing yards for the most part, and especially with this running game, I think he's going to have to. And we thought going into this Ranger season, the Rangers are going to have to average 5 or more runs because of the pitching. And they didn't. In fact, I don't have it in front of me because we're doing it off of TV. When the Rangers score 4 runs or more, and 4 is not a lot.
Nope.
They're like 20 games over 500.
We can't score 4 runs.
I feel bad that the unbelievable job the pitching staff and the bullpen has done this year is just going to get washed away because of how terrible this offense has been.
If the Rangers score 3 or less, they pretty much lose almost every game. Like, they've won, I think it's under 20 games, I believe. It might be like, I don't know, 12 to 14. I can't remember the exact number, but when the Rangers score 3 or less, it's almost an automatic loss, but you'd be shocked how many times they've scored three or less this year. So I go
to...
Do you
have numbers on Dak whenever he throws for certain numbers?
I don't. Okay. Well, I feel like when Dak does throw for a lot of yards, they're playing from behind, mm-hmm. usually.
A lot of quarterbacks, if you look at the fantasy points, you kind of want one of those quarterbacks that's that plays from behind a little bit because
yes.
he has to.
Yeah, I could see that.
But I look at this team, the Cowboys team, going into the season, and I think... Dak is going to have to throw for a lot of yards because I just don't think you're going to get a lot of yards on the ground. I think you can trick them by running maybe a reverse here or CeeDee Lamb goes in motion into the backfield or, you know, but I think they're going to have to get some of their running yards off of screen plays, off of.
Oh, for sure.
Off
I
of
agree
you.
With
and,
that.
I, yeah. and I get that's considered passing yards, but when you're throwing the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage to a receiver and hoping your athletic guys can get out there and make some blocks so CeeDee Lamb or Turpin, whoever it is, can get some yard. That's to me kind of like a running play, but I know it goes down as a passing play. I totally get it. So I just think if Dak were to be 15th or lower in passing yards per game or for the whole season where you accumulate the yards because he, you know, against like the Giants, I think he's going to throw for, they're going to win easily. And I do think he's going to rack up 350 to 450 passing yards in games like that. As long as the game stays kind of close, it gets tough in the fourth quarter if you're up by 24 points to then keep piling on passing yards. But for me, it's Dak. I think Dak is going to have top five NFL passing yard season.
You'd be surprised if that doesn't happen, too. Yeah, because
that's just the nature of what yeah,
he
is. Yeah, I really do.
Do you think this could be, like, because it is contract season? And Kevin, I'm not going to lie. This kind of got me a little bit yesterday when we were discussing Adolis and the mindset of Adolis not being the same player that he was after getting paid. And I'm not saying that he tanked it this season on purpose, but he's an emotional guy. And
sure.
I often wonder this also. Dak has a lot of control over what the Cowboys season looks like. They get into the playoffs. Is he looking at that going, hey, I'm taking this contract thing. You know what? Screw the Cowboys, man. Whatever. I'm throwing a couple interceptions in this playoff game.
Or is he like,
hey, man, I put a Super Bowl on this thing. I don't know. Does his money go up? I don't know how the contract is motivating to him.
Look, I think he's just motivated first and foremost by he's a pro. Like, even right down to the answers he gives to the media.
Yeah.
He's a pro at this. So I think pride leads the way. But you just brought up another thing. If Dak Prescott were to lead the team to a Super Bowl, the last 2 years, and let's say, because his contract would be up, and maybe he stays here, maybe he doesn't, he would hit the free agency market and say, look at my last 2 years. I was runner-up to MVP, and then I took a franchise back to the promised land for the first time in 30 years. I mean, he might get paid now, but you could back up whatever hell money truck you want.
The Mahomes contract?
Yeah, because people are going to be thinking, this is an unquestioned top five quarterback. Like, if he followed up last season with, they made a run in the playoffs and he was awesome in the playoffs, everyone's going to be like, what the hell are the Cowboys doing? We have to have him.
Why doesn't the NFL have a Shohei opportunities in their contracts? Look,
Mahomes cares about his legacy.
He's like, seven years down the road.
Yeah.
Out of all the things, Corey, the one you brought up, I'm not saying is likely, but I would say would be most likely, not last, but that for some reason, turnovers, I'm not saying they're lucky. I really hate when people say sports are luck. I think you make your own luck.
Being prepared.
I understand a lot of times people will say turnovers are kind of
fluky.
Luck of the draw, fluky. But I'm not saying last, and I do think they're going to get their turnovers. But I could see where we are in
down.
Week 10 and we're like, how do we only have this many interceptions from Diggs and Bland and a few of the guys that we think are ball hawk guys?
Those two guys specifically, though, just listening to them talk, Diggs, I remember him saying this. He's like, look, I don't really study receivers. I study route trees. And I know what routes guys are going to run based on where they're supposed to line up. And so I just run the route with them. And whenever I run the route with them, if I run it properly, the ball's going to land in my hands because I'm in position for it. And so I really like the way he said that, and that makes me think that it's less about scheme and more about the player. But I agree with you completely, and he didn't have – he had what – how many did he have, 11? And then he turns around and has three. You know, it's one of those like, you're okay, what's going on here? So I understand what you're saying there. On the other side, Mike, if they were to lead the league in rushing,
oh my god,
that would be the biggest surprise on the positive side of it.
Maybe, hold on,
maybe tomorrow we tease that for yes, like a whole.
Oh, sorry, I didn't even see what time it was.
Because I'm going to challenge that. I think I have a different answer.
Oh wow!
And so I'm really intrigued by this. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The
so
Fan.
So football nuggets again tomorrow.
Hey,
I
YouTube.
Like it.
Hopefully YouTube, you like the Cowboys talk. Twitch, I'll check in on you.
Yeah, we'll be at Specs tomorrow, Kevin.
True.
So we can have that conversation during football nuggets.
You don't like it? Well, there's stuff there to help you out. Coming up next, let's go out to Oxnard and talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola, right here on 105.3 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.